Forward in Faith. It's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loran Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us now as Loran gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. And now, here's Loran Livingston.
I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 6. It's a kind of one of those secondary passages. You don't really put a lot of stress on it. And so I want you to join me as we start with verse number 5. Bond servants. Now, isn't that strange? He starts out talking to people who have lost their freedom to someone else. One of the worst blights in human history is that of humans owning humans. It's the greatest travesty of all. And yet Paul addresses this here. How to act when you've lost your freedom. How to conduct yourself in the worst of circumstances. Bond servants. What's he going to tell someone who has no freedom, who can't make his own decisions, who belongs to somebody else? What can Paul tell this bondservant who calls himself a Christian? Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So Paul is saying, it does not matter what circumstance you find yourself. If you will do good and do everything as though you're doing it for Jesus, whatever good you do will come back to you. I want you to hear me now. Let's not pass over this lightly. Whatever good I do comes back to me. It doesn't matter how bad my life is or what my situation is. If I continue to do good, if I act like that person is Jesus, if I will do what pleases God, God has spoken a law and it will come back to me. Father in heaven, teach us a thing. Open our understanding. Show us the reason that you emphasize over and over in the scriptures to do good works. Because we reap what we sow. We receive what we send. We pick what we plant. In Jesus' name, I ask for this revelation. Amen. Smile on the way down at somebody if you're not asleep. Now, last Sunday night, the minister blessed me beyond my wildest expectations. That was one of the greatest sermons I ever heard that man preach. And he talked about moving on. I want to continue that this morning. I actually spoke from Philippians chapter 3, where Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, and that's what everybody concentrates on. We want to forget the pain that's behind us, but we don't put enough emphasis on reaching forth. Move away, go on ahead, grab something else, do something else, extend yourself. Never think of quitting or retiring. When Moses was 80 years old, he said, give, or was it Joshua? Joshua was 80 when he said, give me this mountain. He chose the biggest, highest mountain at 80 years of age because he said, I'm still full of life and I'm not going to sit down and quit. And I admonished everybody in this room and on the internet, find something else to do that challenges you. Quit living in a box. Despise being average. Detest normalcy. Go beyond what you think you can do. Look your fears in the eyes. Laugh at your demons and discover the depths of the power of Jesus Christ in you that makes you more than a conqueror. I will not sit down and just watch. I want the Joshua mentality that doesn't say, well, just give me enough to get by. I want something to make me scared. I want to do something till I feel like throwing up. Does that make any sense to anybody? Years ago, 20-something years ago, a guy by the name of Tully Blanchard, who became a good friend of mine and actually became the prison minister of this church, he decided he was going to start working me out. He worked out every day, so I showed up, and I figured something out really quick. Tully had never really worked out until he had thrown up. And that's what he taught me. You've not worked out till you vomit, boy. Then I come to find out you don't have to go that far. But there are people like that. They are always breaking a barrier, trying to do something beyond their ability. And I like that. And so we come to this place in the scriptures where we realize staying still is not biblical. God has saved us and filled us with enough power to keep going when the world can't take it anymore. I remember, now I'm going to make a big deal out of this because it's Memorial Day and I'm going to repeat it. We, Dennis and Janice and I, did not know what a hero our dad was until he died. We knew he was in the military, the army, the artillery. But until we got to the funeral home and were beginning to make funeral plans, we did not know who this man was. And the funeral director came in and said, you must be very proud of your father. And we said, yeah, we were. He was a good man, a great man. He taught us the Lord. He took us to church. He's, no. Have you seen his military record? No, we haven't. And he showed us his military record, and he was the recipient of 5 bronze stars. 5, not 1 or 2, 5. And we looked at each other and thought, who was this man? We used to play with those stars. We played army with them. We lost 3 of them, didn't we? Yeah, we'd pin them on and run around in the woods like we were heroes. Didn't even know what they were. I finally salvaged 2 of them, and I have them at home. But here's what amazes me. He didn't spend the rest of his life talking about the almost 5 years he lost in North Africa and Italy. He lost it, living in mud. And he said one time, I remember, I never put 2 and 2 together, he spent 400 days on the front line under shell fire. Saw buddies blown to pieces. But when he came home, he did just like the other veterans. He said, it's behind me. I can't get those days back. I got to move on. I'm going to get married. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to settle down. I'm going to raise a family. And he did it. Folks, life is about moving on. Does anybody get this? I saw something the other day that brought tears to my eyes. On the news, they had a young man who had just been released from prison. Well, I should say incarceration. His girlfriend in high school, and by the way, he was a football champion, looking forward to a great college career, well-built, well-spoken, handsome, and was on his way to the NFL eventually. But his girlfriend accused him of raping her. No evidence whatsoever except her word against his. And he went to jail. For 5 years, he was behind bars. And for the next 5 years, he wore a leg band. She finally spoke up last week and said, "It never happened. I did it because my parents could get a $1.2 million settlement from the school. So I did it." And this young, handsome man, still well-built and articulate, said when he was asked, "Are you bitter? Do you want revenge?" "No, I'm ready to move on. I can't change what's happened. I can't get it back, but I've still got a future ahead of me. I still want to play football, and I want somebody to give me a chance." And I sat there and thought, now what a healthy, healthy attitude about life. Because once you realize you can't get yesterday back, and you can't punish people enough for what they take from you. And if you do, you don't ever recover anything. The only really healthy way to look at life is to say, it's gone, but there's plenty ahead of me. And I'm not going to quit or stop or live in bitterness or be angry. I'm not going to be a vicious person. I'm not going to lie in bed and say, what would have happened? What could have been? It happened. Yeah, that's the way it was. But thanks be to God, there's always tomorrow. And God is good, and God gives us that chance. So our attitude of what we're in or what we've been through is never supposed to be a ball and chain around our ankle. The Lord doesn't smile upon those who stop in their tracks and want things fixed and want retribution and payback. He smiles upon those people who say, I'm in God's will. I am God's child. God knew what was going on. God had a plan for me. God is sovereign. It looks like he doesn't even exist. He doesn't seem to answer. I can't find any answers in his book, but I trust him. He is on the throne. He may not be talking, but he's still with me. He said he would always be with me. He's behind me. He's before me. He's around me, below me, and above me. And most importantly of all, he's inside of me. So whatever happened yesterday is gone. But I've still got God, and I've still got tomorrow, and I'm moving on. Now listen. I'm not a young man anymore. I'm not a kid. I'm not learning to preach. I'm not trying out for a pastorate. I'm not experimenting. I'm talking out of my soul from experience. God orders my steps and my days. But I determine the quality of life I have while I'm taking those steps. I make that decision. I decide how good my life's going to be. I make the decision to be happy. I make the decision to keep doing good when I don't feel like it. I make the decision whether I'm a slave or whether I'm free, Paul said, to keep on living for God whether I feel it or not. And because I make that decision to walk in truth and obedience, I determine the happiness, the level of joy, the quality of living that I am in right now. I know of people, old people, who say life has never been better. They don't have people taking care of them anymore. They don't have their health anymore. Because let me tell you again, your happiness is not dependent on your health or the people that are nice to you. It depends on how much faith you have in God and how much you trust that he's brought you to this place. Now, I'm going to get out of the preaching hum right now, and I'm just going to talk to you for a moment. I have learned that I can wake up every morning and decide that the sun is beautiful and the sky is blue. And that whether people like me or not, it has nothing to do with the joy of my day. Every one of us knows that there are people who don't like us. Right? Somebody told me just a couple of days ago, and I appreciate it, that they sat right here in this church, and while I was preaching, they heard people snickering and saying things against me, and then when I left, they snarled, and Sandra said, "That's a shame, isn't it?" I thought, "Well, everybody doesn't like me, Sandra. You think I'm the coolest, sweetest, most handsome, fine thing you've ever seen. But everybody doesn't feel that way about me." So, folks, you got to come to the place where you realize everybody doesn't like you. But I don't care what people think. As long as the Lord loves me, as long as she loves me, as long as some of y'all love me, that's all right. Somebody wave at me. You're going to make wrong decisions. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to make big mistakes in your life. It's just going to happen. And then there's the power of asking for forgiveness. And then the power of giving forgiveness. See, once you ask for it, it's over. Once you've humbled yourself to say, "I'm sorry," you've done everything you can. Now it's up to Reggie to forgive me for what I did. Now, if he doesn't forgive me, that doesn't make me go home and moan and cry and be sad. No, sir. I did my part. Now he's got to deal with it. He's got to decide if he's going to be happy or not tomorrow by letting me go. So, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not trying to be psychological here this morning. I'm preaching the Bible right here. This is, in fact, my introduction to the message. Now, I've spent enough mornings gloomy, worried about Sunday coming, tense about the message. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to do it. You understand, David? I don't know how much time I got left. I ain't going to spend it moaning in a dark office saying, "God, help me, what's our time?" Gonna do it. I'm free. And it's a decision you'll make today. I'm not going to drag somebody else's feelings about me around. "Oh, I wish they liked me. Oh, I hope they love me. Oh, I would." That ain't going to happen. I am going to treat them the way I want to be treated. And I'm going to be happy. I think the power of Jesus that he gave to us when he died on the cross and rose again incorporates this very power to make a decision. Because look at Jesus in the worst of circumstances. Absolutely the worst of circumstances. He died saying, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He died looking at a man who had lived a terrible life, and in the last seconds of his life said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And that was in the worst circumstance of his life. The Bible says because Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, God has now highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And that's the way the economy of Almighty God works. When you humble yourself and in your worst circumstances, you treat people the way you want to be treated, and exaltation always follows that. Do you hear me today? People don't understand why some are blessed. Why that person's always blessed no matter what they do. If you could see behind the scenes, you would see that they are nice to people. They do kind acts and good works, and those good works always come back. They're not venomous and biting and full of vengeance and sensitive and always upset. They say, "You know, people are people. I'm a people, so I know what people are.
We are human beings, and we are unpredictable, and we are very unloyal at times, and we are moody, and we are inconsistent. And the person that gets victory over all of that is the person that says, hey, I'm that way too, so I'm going to treat you the way I want you to treat me. And the Bible says it will come back. So that's why you got to keep moving. You can't stop where you got wounded. When you get shot, you got to crawl somewhere else. Drag yourself to another place. Don't stay there and bleed to death. There's a passage in the Bible that I can't find. I've looked for 2 days now. I cannot find it, but it's in there. I've looked in Strong's. I've been on the iPad. I've had Sandra looking for it. I can't find it, but it's in there. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It says the armies of Israel were walking down the road and came upon a carcass and stopped. They just stopped and looked at it. They could not proceed because there was a carcass in the road. And the commander said, let's go. They said, there's a carcass in the road. And essentially he said, then walk around it. It's in the Bible. If it's not, it should be. But it's in there. It's in there. Now I got all my doctrinal people. You're already texting. Let the blue blee blang the blee 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 blee. What's the point? The point is, every time you start on this journey, you're going to run into something dead. It can't hurt you. It smells bad. It can impede your progress, but it can't hurt you. And the worst thing you can do is just stop and stare at it and get used to the smell. The Bible teaches us to move on. There's always dead stuff laying around. Dead yesterdays. Feelings, move around it. Don't stand there and endure the odor of it. Don't let it impede your progress. You finding it for me, David? I knew you would. The Bible says, just go around it. Well, we don't have enough sense sometimes to realize if it's dead, it has no effect on us whatsoever unless we allow it. You see, in God, I said this recently and I'm still pondering it. It looks like three things always happen when you're in Christ. There's a birth, a death, and a resurrection. The birth of a dream. Dreams for our kids. Dreams for our future. Dreams for our job, our business. Physical dreams. And then God lets them die. We just see it die. It didn't happen. And parents are the worst because they won't let their children go through the death that God has designed for them. We keep blowing oxygen into them, resuscitating them, beating them in the heart, dragging them to the emergency room of heaven. We don't want to see our children experience death of dreams, death of ambition, death of arrogance. We keep them alive. But there's always a resurrection. And after the death gets rid of you. The death is the removal of your dream, your ambition. When one of my daughters goes through a death, I need to stay out of the way, Sandra. I will not look back. Because every mother in this building is on her side. It's my baby. It's my child. I brought her into the world. I birthed her. I pushed her across the threshold of death. That's my baby.
Not really. God used you to get that being into the world so he could do his will through that being. And if you keep resuscitating when God is trying to kill, you're only prolonging the misery and the process. The greatest day of your life and their life will be when they lose all ambition and say, it'll never happen. That's when God says, now, resurrection time. And when he resurrects it, it's for his glory. They don't do it because they want to do it anymore. They don't do it because they have a desire. They do it because the Holy Spirit is driving them to do it. And so we as parents and our children have to learn to just keep moving. Just keep moving. No matter what happens, keep moving. You can't stop. This is a journey. It is not a journey if you stop. Whatever's in front of you, go around it. If you feel the pangs of death sucking life out of you, trust God. There's going to be a resurrection. And that's what this scripture is all about to me. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. With fear and trembling. You mean I'm supposed to tremble at this guy that owns me? Not fear and trembling for the man. Fear and trembling for the Lord. In sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service. Don't do it to be seen. As men pleasers. We're not trying to please people. But as bond servants of Christ. He said, you may belong to this man, but you really belong to Jesus. This just happens to be your circumstance right now. And do the will of God from your heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good anyone does, regardless, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Makes you want to go out and do something good right now, doesn't it? You don't have to go out. You can do it right now. See, I'm telling you that you can change your quality of life right now, this very moment, by treating people the way you want to be treated, by being a forgiver. You know, if you forgive somebody, forgive them. Don't say, I forgive you, and then keep talking about it. I wish I could get an amen from that side. They're still trying to find that carcass in the road over there. I've gone way past that carcass. I'm into something better now. Just go ahead and forgive somebody so you can be healthy. So you won't have to tiptoe around and peep and feel tense all the time.
Receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. In requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard the broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Or you may order through our toll-free number, 1-800-251-4024. Again, that number is 1-800-251-4024. Forward in Faith is a listener-supported broadcast. Please send your contributions to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320.